Thanks very much, John. Well, shell-shocked Republicans are still reeling after losing one of theirs to the Democratic Party. After years of being wooed, Arlen Specter decided it was time to cross the aisle. And here is how the veteran Republican explained the switchover.
I am not prepared to have my 29-year record in the United States Senate decided by the Pennsylvania Republican primary electorate.
And Senator Specter will be appearing at a press conference with President Obama and Vice President Biden a little later on this morning. Let's go straight to Todd Zwillick on Capitol Hill and Laura Vesey, political reporter for the Patriot News in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Todd, let me start with you. First of all, are the knives still out this morning?
Oh, they'll be out.
Long and sharp.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Look, the truth is that everyone on Capitol Hill knew that the Democratic leadership was working on Arlen Specter for many, many years. I think people were surprised yesterday when the announcement actually came, when it did. But it was no surprise that they've been working him over for a long time. It's also no surprise that Arlen Specter was not, even though he's a four going on five term senator. 29-year career, as he mentioned in that cut, and a very powerful senator with seniority. He was not loved by the Republican leadership or by that Republican primary electorate that he mentioned there. You know, they have pejorative names for people like Arlen Specter around Capitol Hill. The Republicans call him a rhino. Rhino, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. So the knives have been out for a while for Arlen Specter. Maybe they're a little sharper now.
Well, you know, the Democrats have been courting him for many years. What kind of an asset is he going to be to his new party?
Well, in a number of ways. One, you have that magical number of 60. Femi mentioned it. And if Al Franken gets in, you're at that magical number of 60. It may be not quite so magical as people think. That 60-vote threshold, that filibuster-proof majority, it's an issue-by-issue number. You almost never have lockstep voting discipline in the Senate. And Arlen Specter, in about five different ways yesterday, said that he's going to remain an independent vote and he can't be relied upon to be lockstep. What it may do is speed things up on sort of some of the more routine issues. What you've seen over the last couple of years of the Republican minority in the Senate is filibusters and delay tactics, even for non-controversial issues. For instance, just this past week, a very non-controversial anti-fraud enforcement bill that had broad bipartisan support, I think it eventually passed with 80 votes, they filibustered it and slowed it down, not to kill it, just to make it go slower. Things like that are less likely to happen now, but on the big issues, health care reform, war, the big issues, 60 is 60, but it's not necessarily 60. I'll give you five Democrats right now who don't vote for embryonic stem cell research, for instance.
Okay, Laura,
so you never know.
Laura, let me bring you in here. How is this crossover playing out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? Why did they think that he left the party?
Well, I think actually the most interesting thing that's going to begin as of today, I know that after Arlen appears with his new Democratic leadership mentors in the vice president and the president, is what kind of fast-tracking will be taking place in Pennsylvania now that Ed Rendell, who is probably not just the governor of this state, but absolutely the party boss in terms of fundraising, he's going to line up behind Arlen and come out today. I think the governor was eerily missing from the scene yesterday because I think he wants to make the second wave splash today and let everyone know that we finally got Arlen on our side and everybody better line up behind him. The question, and that probably will work just because the way money has to work in politics. However, with an electorate here that's shifted Democratic and emboldened to be take on some of these more liberal issues and the liberal agenda, you have to wonder if even the Democratic voters in Pennsylvania may not question whether or not they have to take on a Democrat in name only at this point.
Okay, well, let's listen to a pretty gleeful RNC chairman, Michael Steele, who was speaking on CNN yesterday.
This is an open primary seat for the Democrats. I love it. And we're going to have a strong Republican candidate on our side, and I love that even more. And if Senator Specter survives into the fall, get ready to go to the mat, baby.
So, Laura, here you have Steele saying this is going to actually help the Republicans, but wasn't Specter on the money with the polls?
I don't know how the Republicans can say that anything is helping them at this point. I mean, this is, as we said yesterday, I'm not sure this is as much an embrace of the Democratic Party by Arlen Specter as it is a repudiation of the Republican Party by him. I mean, this is just another indication of how far afield Republicans are, and Michael Steele has already demonstrated over the past few months that, you know, his ability to make sense of what's happening in his own party is not exactly hitting the target. So,
hey, Laura, I've got a scenario for you. Chris Matthews switches parties and runs against Specter in the fall.
Well, I mean, Chris Matthews went bananas last night on MSNBC. I mean, I think he, excuse my French, he called Arlen Specter a whore. And, I mean, it's incredible that a guy as astute as Chris Matthews on politics doesn't look and see. You know, Arlen Specter might have been expedient here in his political decision, but the fact is, you know, the guy did hang on up until last week running around Pennsylvania, which happens to be a very large state. In fact, it's kind of like five states in one. And the guy, for a 79-year-old, seasoned politician, makes every effort as much as any legislator in the country to get out and talk to his people. So, I mean, I think he played it down to the absolute wire, saying, if it's going to be a squeaker, I'll try to go in as a Republican. But obviously the numbers were just so poor. But as far as Chris Matthews, boy, he went nuts last night.
Todd, how does this play into the Republican Party's vulnerabilities?
Well, their spin yesterday, you know, they had about 12 hours to get their message together because Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, apparently found out about this Sunday night. So their vulnerabilities are enormous, Dalji. Look, minority in the Senate, minority in the House, they don't have the White House, and all of those people are going to be campaigning for Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania, including the president, the vice president, and Harry Reid in the fall. Their message coming out is that this now puts pressure on red state Democrats, all of those Democrats from Republican states, those moderate Democrats who ran on the message that I'm no party guy, I'm no liberal, I'll keep my independence, I'm a moderate. The Republicans are saying, okay, red state Democrats, now you have to show that you're not Harry Reid's foot soldier. This now puts pressure on them, and they've got their clock running for the inevitable Democratic overreach, which will happen. I promise you, I want to put it on the record, the Democrats will overreach. I don't know when.
All right.
And the Republicans are looking out for it.
All right, Todd Zwillick on Capitol Hill and Laura Vesey. Sorry, got to leave it there. Political reporter for the Patriot News in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thanks very much to both of you.
Those guys are great. If Specter can switch, so can you.
Hi, I'm Miriam, and I'm a high school student from New York, so I can't vote right now. But I would probably be a Democrat. But I think that if I was a politician, I probably wouldn't care what party I was on because I'd know exactly, you know, what's going on and how similar the parties are in terms of corruption and stuff like that.
Boy, Miriam's got it right. Call us with your idea at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. This just in from the Associated Press. The CDC now says that the swine flu has claimed the first life in the United States. A 23-month-old child in Texas has died of swine flu. So we'll have more details on that later on in the morning. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Daljit Dhaliwal, and this is The Takeaway.